change the world. You tell me that it's evil to shun. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
trying, aren't we? That's John Lennon and Revolution. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We revolt every once in a while here. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for being with us. It is Monday, January the 8th. We're moving along into 2024, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal is going to be with us. We are going to talk about an executive order by President Biden. It grants paid leave to federal employees who want to work at the polling booths. Yes. Now, why would he give them... This is a paid leave. Paid leave. Why would he give them paid leave to do that? We're going to talk about it. And Alejandro Mayorkas is in the impeachment hot seat this week for the southern border chaos. So the House, as the House returns from vacation, boy, they got a lot going on. We'll talk about that as well. Speaking of a hot seat, what is with the Secretary of Defense? He takes, apparently, an elective surgery. He doesn't tell anybody. We're doing all of this stuff over around Iran and Israel and with Ukraine and all that going on and in China. Is this a dereliction of duty? And question, could he lose his job over this? I think with enough pressure, he might. We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, this is the Voters World Travel Organization giving us the top 10 most popular U.S. landmarks. That'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I've never found a better place. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, the best tree servicing company in Tampa Bay that I have found. I have used them. Whether you want to enhance the trees you have, get more trees, you want to remove trees, they're great at that. Stump grind, great at that. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service, Arbor Life. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So this is a very busy week. The House is back after their Christmas vacation. They are set, and they're off to the races, by the way. They have scheduled several big priorities for this week related to two separate impeachment probes, as well as a visit to Congress by our good friend, the infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci. You know, Fauci is getting more and more, attention as it becomes more and more inevitable that the COVID virus was released from a lab in Wuhan, China. Fauci's first sit-down of the new Congress will be a closed-door interview with the House Select Committee on COVID-19. He will field questions on both sides today and tomorrow for a marathon 7 hours each day. I know who would like to get at him, but he's in the Senate. That's Rand Paul. So the House Oversight Committee and the Homeland Security Committee are both taking big steps to push for accountability also from the Biden administration. They're going to hold a procedural meeting to advance a contempt resolution against Hunter Biden. Remember him? He decided not to show up when he was subpoenaed before the House. So that's going on. In the meantime, how about our buddy Alejandro Mayorkas? He who keeps his eyes, ears closed when it comes to border chaos. He is set for an impeachment hearing on Wednesday after a year of investigation and reports by the House Homeland Security Committee, which has been looking at the handling of the nearly three-year migrant crisis. Now, first off, state attorneys general from the heartland will testify and describe the effect of the ongoing migrant crisis. This includes the Montana Attorney General, the Oklahoma Attorney General, and Missouri Attorney General. They'll talk about the impacts of the crisis with all of these migrants, illegal immigrants, coming into their states. They've even got a name for the hearing. It's called Havoc in the Heartland. It sounds like a movie title. The House voted to refer impeachment articles to the committee this past November. And on Wednesday, the committee will now take up that process. So it comes as the border numbers have hit a new record. Over 300,000 migrant encounters in December. Think of that. 300,000. That's a large city, isn't it? 300,000? That's unbelievable. And what does Mayorkas do? You know, when you see that guy, you want to slap him silly to begin with. He ducks every question. He was on Fox News. I think it was Brett Baer that was interviewing him. And he continues to be a slippery eel when it comes to answering any questions. Very, very, very. Maybe this time they'll catch him. He may be the very first person to be literally thrown out. If I were Biden, I'd get rid of him. He is a bad, even if you like the guy, he's not helping the situation with Biden.
Thing is, you don't know if he's just following what he's being told to say.
No question about that.
He says,
no question.
The thing that gets me the most is one of his answers is usually that we're dealing with all of these countries that are sending these migrants that are people that are destitute and starving and blah 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 blah, and you look at these people that are walking in, that are in brand new shoes and clothing. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say you have to.
They're dressed better than you and me sometimes.
Has to be bombed like overseas or anything like that. But these people, I mean, brand new backpacks. Nice-looking jackets and stuff.
Yeah, they don't look homeless.
I mean, they don't look very homeless. You can put them on any American street, and they'd look like they have a home.
They look like they're going to go into a store and do some shopping.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. All right, fair enough. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Fred Lucas of the Daily Signal, he's going to join us. We are going to talk about how an executive order by Biden to grant paid leave to federal workers who show up at the polling booths. What is that all about?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcast Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcast.
Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh yeah, we're back. Freedom Works. January. Monday. All the good things. Is it cold where you are? I was looking, Ed, on the weather map. It looks like there's really some cold weather starting to set in certain areas.
Yeah.
Snow finally coming? Is that it?
The Northeast was complaining about not having much snow this year. Mother Nature took care of that real quick.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Well, it's good. It'll shut up some of the global warmers for a while.
Well, that'll never happen.
Oh, no, I guess
but
not.
But the guys that make money, you know, plowing all the snow up there, they're complaining they haven't had any work.
Now they do.
There you go.
Okay. All right. We're delighted to have Fred Lucas join us. He is the chief news correspondent and the manager of the Investigative Reporting Project at the Daily Signal. It is an arm of the Great Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with him about an article in the Daily Signal that he penned, how Biden's executive order is turning out the federal bureaucrat vote. Fred, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. You know, everybody is, not everybody, but a lot of people, more than ever, are concerned about integrity in voting. This all maybe stemmed from COVID, but for whatever reason, all the mail-in voting and everything that all of a sudden popped up all over the country, and the complaints, this, that, and the other thing. So now we got Joe Biden. Tell us a little bit about this executive order, if you would.
Okay, yeah. Well, we have, at the Daily Signal, we've covered the executive order a lot. We've gotten a lot of FOIAs on it, through public records requests and lawsuits and so forth, because the Biden administration has been hiding a lot of this information as to how they're implementing this voting executive order, or they say it's just to promote democracy, which is kind of a little bit of what we saw in that sort of unhinged speech on Friday from the president about democracy. In this case, they're working about on using the federal government and the resources behind that to turn out their voter base. In this particular case, we found that they're leaning in heavily on getting the federal bureaucracy out to vote, not only to vote, but also actually be poll workers, be part of local election administration.
Wow.
Now, some people might remember the Democrats tried to pass this massive election takeover in Biden's first year in office. They called it the For the People Act, which would have been basically nationalized the election process. They didn't get that passed, but Biden is trying to make up for that through this executive order, which is an all-of-government approach to, you know, turning out the what is mostly the Democratic base. And what we got here in this most recent records release was from the Office of Personnel Management, which shows sort of the level to which they're really grinding in on this.
Now, you mentioned that boosting turnout, which might be the intent, and Democratic turnout, which might be the intent of this paid leave, would violate the Hatch Act, right? Tell us, what is the Hatch Act?
The Hatch Act is a law. It went into place in the 1930s, actually, after the FDR's administration was sort of politicizing the federal workforce. But this was a reaction to basically preventing any use of a federal workforce or federal resources, federal work time, and so forth, for the purpose of partisan political activity. And there's been a, since this order was initially signed, that was the major concern here, that this could be a Hatch Act violation, pushing federal employees out there to engage in some type of political activity. The administration has always said this is entirely nonpartisan, something that the Daily Signal actually discovered through previous Freedom of Information Act request was that whatever they say about it being nonpartisan, this administration is partnering with a very partisan group, or ideologically leaning groups at least, such as Demos, that's this left-wing think tank out of New York, as well as the ACLU, which we know which direction politically those organizations are leaning. So this is like a very wide-ranging, this is like one, this story is one aspect of this really broad executive order that also includes, and we mentioned this in the story, but the executive order also includes that the administration, the Department of Homeland Security, has been charged with signing up newly minted immigrants at naturalization ceremonies. The Justice Department is involved in notifying prisoners what their rights are once they get out of prison to vote. And HUD is involved in registering voters at public housing projects and so forth.
Wow.
So this is something that really seems targeted towards at least perceived Democratic constituents.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, everybody knows which way the federal bureaucracy leans.
Indeed.
And as far as putting this 4 hours, applying it, I mean, we don't know if they're giving them 4 hours to vote absentee while at work, 4 hours to go out and find a polling place. But I think the bigger concern is that they want people to be poll workers. They want people to be, they're encouraging that, to be involved in actual election administration, which kind of raises some red flags.
Well, I see what you're saying. Right. We're talking with Fred Lucas, chief news correspondent and the manager of the Investigative Reporting Project at the Daily Signal, which is an arm of the Heritage Foundation. By the way, Fred is also the author of The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. You know, ever since Donald Trump, in that infamous January 6th, 2021, get-together in front of the Capitol building, there's been this concern about election integrity, and never has it been as much a concern as it has been since then. And here we have all of this going on already with ballot harvesting, would you call it that, and all of these other things, and mail-in voting, where you don't know how many people have handled your ballot before it finally gets counted, or whether it gets counted at all. You got all of that going on. And here's Biden, who starts to kind of put his, I don't know, his finger in the eye of integrity, does he not, by doing something like this?
Well, yeah. One congressman had mentioned the chairman of the House Administration Committee thinks that this is basically the Biden administration's way of having the federal bureaucracy put their thumb on the scale to get one election result over the other. And I think whatever one thinks about the 2020 election, what you can't necessarily deny is that at the state level, in several states, election laws were changed largely to benefit one candidate over the other. That doesn't necessarily mean that the result would have been different or was different or changed because of that, but What's important is that what we're seeing now with the Biden administration is that they seem to be involving the federal government directly, and importantly through executive order, not even through Congress, in order to change election procedures to benefit one party over the other.
Yes.
And just to be clear, too, if this was just benevolent pro-democracy move, which the administration claims it is, it would be nice if every morsel of information the public knows about this didn't have to be drawn out through either a Freedom of Information Act litigation or congressional subpoenas. I mean, Congress has been, more than 50 members of Congress have requested this. Just in November, 22 senators signed a letter just to get some basic information about how this is being implemented. It's all being ignored. The Justice Department invoked presidential privilege to shield records on this.
Really?
The administration is being extraordinarily secretive about how they let this out, and just drip and drabs of information.
Didn't Joe
like
Biden,
what we had in this story.
Yeah, didn't Joe Biden tell us this is going to be the most open administration in history? You remember this was going to be the most open administration in history. Go ahead.
That hasn't worked out so well, particularly with this particular executive order. There is something very special, near and dear to the administration's heart about this executive order and how it's working. And importantly also, I mean, the memos that we got here, that was from the OPM. And how they're implementing this. That was in March 2022, well ahead of the midterm election. So, I mean, we don't know to what degree these policies from the executive order, from the overall executive order, might have impacted the midterm election in 2022.
Fred, I want to step back a little bit because you're kind of an expert on this whole voter, I don't know, situation, voter suppression and all, and whether or not we really still have or ever did have clean elections in this country. We talk here on our show about trying to get rid of as much of the mail-in voting as we can get and go back to same-day voting at precincts, because you can kind of keep track of the ballot that way. Certainly overseas for military and for people that are in perhaps nursing homes and places like that, we can find a way to get their vote safely to the ballot box. But other than that, what is your feeling on returning to same-day precinct voting?
Well, there is sort of this notion that now we have an election month instead of election day, or maybe election 2 months. A lot of places have early voting or absentee voting 6 weeks or 2 months, 3 months before the election. I think that would restore trust a lot. The problem is I think a lot of people do like convenience, even people who they don't like the notion of ballot harvesting. So you could possibly have like absentee balloting without ballot harvesting, without these political operatives getting their hands on ballots or staring over someone's shoulder, which we know happens when voting is going on and so forth. But that's voter intimidation. But
I think this is making it, quite frankly, we're getting lazy. How many hundreds of years have we been voting at the precinct before? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Can't we find time to show up at the precinct? I mean, let's sit back and everybody vote online. Everybody vote in the mail. Well, you know, it's almost like, you know what? It's a responsibility. We should take this thing, I think, a hell of a lot more seriously.
Yeah, I do recall Barack Obama floated the idea of online voting when he was president. I don't know if the left is going to push that or not, but it's that would be extremely dangerous. And if people are worried about hacking the vote before when there was no real chance of that happening, you switch it to vote online, that would totally endanger the vote. I think
it's getting worse. Than it's not getting better. I mean, we got to figure out a way to if there's any way that we can put the genie back in the bottle when it comes to voter integrity, boy, I think we got to look for it. Fred Lucas, thank you so very, very much for coming on. Again, I want to plug your book, Myth of Voter Suppression: The Left's Assault on Clean Elections, and I hope we can speak again down the road.
Yeah, hope so. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Fred. Fred Lucas.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, what is going on here with the Secretary of Defense? He had some sort of elective surgery. Apparently, he didn't tell anybody, including his staff or the great Joe Biden? What's going on there? Is this a dereliction of duty? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. So now there are demands. Just saw this coming across the wire. There are demands now to fire Lloyd Austin, to fire him as the Secretary of Defense after he vanished for several days. Meantime, we got a full-scale Middle East war getting worse and worse and worse. He was hospitalized. This is Secretary Austin. Since the first day of 2024, and while he's still in the hospital, okay, and while the Pentagon officials have not said when he's going to come out, they continue to avoid saying why he went to the hospital. He was admitted to Walter Reed Hospital last Monday, a week ago, for what Pentagon said were complications from some sort of elective procedure. Hey, absolutely. Well, we wish him the very best, and we want him to recover. But you can't just leave the job and not let anybody know, especially when you're the Secretary of Defense. Now, why did that happen? Even Joe Biden apparently was not aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, in any job, just any job, I mean, if you if you go to the hospital for a procedure, usually you tell everybody, too.
You got to, don't you?
Yeah, I usually say, listen, I'm going to go to have a procedure. Everything will be fine. I'll be back to work on Monday.
Yeah.
And then when you don't show up, why didn't somebody contact, or better yet, why didn't his wife or whoever, or his non-binary friend, whatever, didn't call and say, so-and-so's not going to be in for a couple of days. He had some problems.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
It got to be kind of serious with when he went back. He had severe pain. He was placed in the intensive care unit.
It's a shame. I mean,
yeah, we're worried about him.
But life does go on, and so does,
tell the Assistant Secretary of Defense you ain't going to be there.
But the thing is, why didn't
publicize the fact that you're going to be off your feet for a few days?
But why didn't somebody call him? Why didn't somebody call, hey, I just called because you're not in today. You all right?
I think he's going to be, he may be sacked.
And then at day two, you start checking, the jails and the hospitals and stuff like that.
Yeah. Hey, we got our eye on the northern sky. Let's get his opinion. Angelo Ceresi is joining us. By the way, Happy New Year, Angelo. I'm glad to be...
Happy New Year.
Glad to be talking with you again in 2024. What do you think about this Lloyd Austin story?
It's pretty bizarre. I mean, your Secretary of Defense, like you say, you got two wars going on, one in the Middle East, one in Europe, and you don't tell anybody that you're going into the hospital? I mean, just I don't know if it's a simple procedure or whatever, but he should have said something.
Well, they call it elective surgery. Was he getting a nose job? Or how about, is it a fat reduction thing? Why don't they be a little bit more transparent about that? Not that, the main thing, though, is tell everybody so that we know. We got to have somebody keeping guard, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, but this is how the whole Biden administration is, you know? They're not transparent at all. And they just do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter to them.
So, Angelo, we have got the Iowa caucuses coming up within, I think, 10 days, if I'm not mistaken, a week from Wednesday. I may be wrong. It may be a week from Tuesday. Anyway, this week we're going to see a lot of Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, and Donald Trump. In fact, I think each of them is doing a town hall, or whatever you call it, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, starting tonight on Fox News. I think it's Nikki Haley tonight. I may be wrong. I think she's doing something around 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I think Ron DeSantis is doing one. And Wednesday at 9 o'clock at night, Donald Trump. So they're all going to be running around here. What is your thought? Is there any chance that either DeSantis or Nikki Haley could pull an upset in Iowa?
I doubt it. I think the majority of the people in the Republican Party want Donald Trump again to run for office. I my opinion, which probably doesn't really matter, is that I think the people feel that Donald Trump was given a raw deal when he was president of the United States, with all the Russian collusion stuff and, you know, and everything. And a lot of it's come out that it's all bogus, you know. And the same thing with the January 6th, it's all that the Democrats are running on. Donald Trump is not, he's going to be a dictator. He's going to put people in concentration camps. And if the American people swallow it, you know, I mean, I can't believe the American people are that dumb.
Well, the only thing about the dictator, yeah, the dictator statement was supposedly, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was talking with Sean Hannity. In fact, it might have been a town hall that he was doing with him, but they were doing an interview with him, and Sean asked him about would he be a dictator, and didn't Trump say only on day one?
He said something like that.
And something but about, close the border and I'm going to drill baby drill or something like
actually,
that.
Actually, his exact words, I went look back and looked at it. Sean Hannity asked him, he said, on day, will you, when if you're reelected, will you become a dictator on day one? He didn't even say on day one. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is drill baby drill and shut the and put the wall up. To the border.
Yeah, I mean,
close the border.
There was nothing to say to be a dictator because he's going to change his, on Biden's first day. How many executive orders did he sign? There was like 40 of them.
You know what? I don't know if it's possible to get that clip. It probably isn't, but I know that.
But they were floating there.
But everybody knows he just was
floating there. Give me 2 minutes. I'll find it.
Okay, Ed's going to bless him. He's going to look for it. I think. Trump said, I think Sean Hannity did use the D word.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trump said something like, only on day one.
You know, just like, you know.
I mean, everybody with a brain knows. He wasn't saying he was going to be a dictator at all.
No, but the Democrats were floating that long before he was interviewed by Sean Hannity.
Of course.
You know, they're talking like he's a democracy is at a crossroads with Donald Trump. They're the ones that are undemocratic. They are against the Constitution. They're actually against the United States. They want to turn this country into a communist nation. Look at the people you got running this country. Look at them all. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they all have a copy of the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah. Yeah, no, things are really topsy-turvy right now.
I mean, they've gone against the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. Now they want to try and use the 14th Amendment. You know, I mean, come on. And they're trying every which way that this to try to put this person either in jail or to make it that he can't run for office, or just put a bad thing in people's brains that that he's anti-democratic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Democracy.
Yeah.
And this is what they're floating in the country.
I
mean, come on.
Let me ask you about this too. Speaking of the
Paul.
Speaking of the caucus, yes, Ed.
Okay, I've got it.
You do, all right.
And you're going to see dictator wasn't even brought up.
Oh, okay.
But here it is. This is Hannity asking him.
Okay.
Yeah. Under no circumstances, you are promising America tonight, you would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Yeah. Except
Look,
what?
He's going crazy. Except for day one.
Meaning?
I want to close the border. And I want to drill.
That's
drill,
not a, that's
drill.
That's not.
Oh, no.
That's not retribution. I got.
I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be. You know, he keeps. We love this guy. He says, "You're not gonna be a dictator, are you?" I said, "No, no, no. Other than day one, we're closing the border, and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator."
So that sounds.
Okay, I don't even think that's being a dictator.
No,
but because
of course
it's
not.
All he's going to do is sign an executive order, which 40 of them were done the day that Biden sat his ass.
Look, it's the press that's doing this. We all know it's the mainstream
because
media.
Because the headline here, Trump says he'll be a dictator.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This just drives us crazy. Now, I want to ask you something, Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. In the Iowa caucus... There is, speaking about the mainstream media, they are floating a rumor that Ron DeSantis would drop out of the presidential race if he were to lose the Iowa caucus.
I heard about that rumor, yes.
Yeah, he dismissed it. He said that's a total lie. But do you think there's any possibility he might reassess after the caucus?
No, I think he's in it to win it. He's not a quitter, Ron DeSantis. I mean, I would back Ron DeSantis. I back Trump.
Mm-hmm.
No way can I back Nikki Haley. I mean, she's kind of used some tough language against Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. You know, I mean, I know it's politics, and, you know, this is how it is. It's dog eat dog. But to me, I know the dream team for me would be Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Or if Donald Trump doesn't get the nomination, Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis is presidential material. He's a veteran, you know, military veteran. He's very well qualified to be commander-in-chief, you know.
Yes.
The guy's already put the uniform of this country on. So, to me, that makes him number one priority. He knows what to do with this country. I think he loves this country just as much as anybody running for president, and Nikki Haley too, but still, to me, it's either Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump.
Now, let me ask you.
Can't be any more.
Okay, if Nikki Haley did win, and it doesn't look good, but if she did and she was the nominee, are you saying you would not vote for her?
Oh no, I would vote. I would vote for her in a minute.
Okay,
I'm a true Republican. I'm red, white, and blue Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'll always be that way. There's no way I could ever become a communist Democrat. You know what I'm saying?
I know that. I know that.
I think when you look at Trump and DeSantis, you see two guys that are not politicians. But then when you get to Nikki Haley, I think you see a bit of a politician there. And that's what people are attracted to Trump, because he's not a politician. He's not after the money, although there's been many claims that he is. He's not after the money. He's in to clean the money up.
Well, he certainly doesn't need money from the government or from the job of being president. We know that.
Well, you know, he didn't even take the money when he was president. You
right.
know? Here's a guy that...
He hands over his salary, I think, to military causes or something like that.
He's pro-military. He's pro-blue. You know what I'm saying? It's just like these people. I mean, you got Kamala Harris as vice president of this country, and she was bailing people out during 2020. I call that the 2020 insurrection, what these people did, burning federal buildings, you know, the city in Seattle, what they built, their little city called CHOP. That was the insurrection. not what January 6th was.
Gotcha. Hey, what's the weather? We talked earlier about finally we're getting some really cold weather that's sliding in. What is Rochester going through right now weather-wise?
Well, we had a nor'easter come up the coast over the weekend. We got here in Rochester about four to six inches of snow.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And tomorrow we have another storm coming in, and it's supposed to hit in the afternoon with 45, 55 mile an hour wind, possibly 60 mile hours wind near Lake Ontario, you know?
Yeah. By the way, he's in Rochester, New York. We want to make that clear. Not Rochester, Minnesota. Go ahead.
And they're talking like maybe in some areas 60 to 70 mile an hour winds.
Wow. Wow.
And that's, you know, that's the convolution of the convolution, I guess, whatever you want to call it, of the warm air and the cold air that's happening now, coming down from the north.
But up there, they're ready for it.
Oh, God,
I mean, you know, I remember the one time we had snow here, it looked like the funny papers, for crying out loud.
I
remember when I was stationed in Georgia, when I came back from Vietnam, I got stationed in Georgia. They had like an ice storm, you know, and a little bit of snow. I mean, the whole city shut down.
Yes, indeed.
In Macon, Georgia.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You stay warm. You stay safe. We want to be talking with you every week now, Angelo, especially now that we're getting closer to the caucuses and primaries.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a nice New Year's.
And the same. All right, buddy. There he goes. Angelo, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, I want to talk about the Bucks. I think they made the playoffs with Ed and also.
Yeah.
And the top 10 most popular U.S. landmarks.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Boy, love all you loyal listeners. You know, we've been doing this for 20 years. Wow. I was only 13 years old when we started this show.
Boy, is your math off.
I want to let you know that if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. And if you click on the podcast button at the top, Ed's got all our shows on tape, on podcast, bless him. You will see who the guest is, what the topic is with the guest, and also our top 10. So just go to our website, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. So Ed, before we get into it, I want to ask you in a couple of minutes about our illustrious Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But first off, do you know the state of Pennsylvania? You know that it was named for William Penn. Do you remember that from history?
Okay.
Do you know they want to remove William Penn's statue in Pennsylvania?
When is it going to stop?
I tell you what, the National Park Service, of all things.
Who wrote a letter?
Exactly. They have announced they will be removing William Penn, the statue, from a Philadelphia park commemorating his founding of Pennsylvania. Here's the deal. The rehabilitation proposal is meant to provide a more welcoming, accurate, and inclusive, that's the word you got to always worry about, an inclusive experience for visitors. This is according to the National Park Service. They go on to say it includes expanded interpretation of the Native American history of Philadelphia and was developed in collaboration with representatives from, I guess it's four different tribes, the Shawnees, the Delawares, one called the Haudenosaunee, and another one was the Eastern Shawnee. So I guess somehow somebody somewhere along the way complained about William Penn. This is,
you know, to me, you change things when there's this major march, uproaring, and all this stuff, not when somebody writes a letter.
Exactly. So there you go. I'm not even going to talk about it any further.
Last night, as you get to football, and when I was watching the games, I noticed that we're about 200 days away from the Olympics, the Summer Olympics.
Okay.
Now, are the transgender folk allowed to jump ship into the other category like they're trying to do here? Can they do that in the Olympics?
I don't know.
I tell you that they can't.
Yeah.
They cannot.
I don't know the answer to that. This could be very interesting.
I looked it up, and they cannot.
Okay. They cannot.
No. They still believe in a man and a woman.
Oh, good.
So I want to know, why aren't they going, these people going to those countries and protesting and stuff?
I see what you're saying.
Because you know what?
What?
They're not going to get any response.
That's probably right. We're actually more doing that kind of thing than the other countries typically. That's why. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay, Ed, before we get to our top 10, I watched our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers pull out a victory against a team that is, I think they just fired their coach. Go ahead.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
No,
okay.
No, they haven't fired him. Yeah, they will.
All right.
But they're 2-14. Now they're 2-15.
Yeah.
2-14. We managed to score. Get it.
That's a Carolina team,
points,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
We managed to score 9 points yesterday.
Uh huh.
3 field goals.
That's it. Against a 2-14 team.
That's our team who's going to make a statement and go
all
in
right
there and beat them down.
All right.
9-0.
Okay. Who are the Bucs playing and when? Do you know?
The Bucs will be at home Monday night against the Eagles, who lost 5 out of 6 now.
Against the Philadelphia Eagles.
They just
Eagles.
Lost last night against the Giants.
Did they?
Yes. So not only did they lose, they got beat down.
No kidding. All right. So now, there's going to be a bunch of coaches that might leave. I think the Washington,
Commanders, team, the Redskins, I'll still call them Redskins.
Or Redskins, they got rid of their coach.
He'll be gone. Ron Rivera. He'll be gone.
Yes. What about the New
Carolina
England coach?
Be gone. New England. I think there's going to be a mutual parting of ways.
He's going to leave, right?
I think so.
That'll be a big news story.
Yeah, you may see him surface in a team that may make the playoffs this year, that has the personnel or the talent on the field, but maybe the coaching isn't as good.
Oh, so you think he'll find another job as a head coach?
I think he may surface again.
Okay.
Because at his age, you would think he would say, you know, enough is enough, I'm done.
Exactly. All right.
Is that your phone?
No. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry about that. No one ever called me. I apologize. We'll get to that later. We got something more important to do. Disregard the music.
Or at least sing or something.
It is kind of nice music, though. I kind of like it. Anyway, let us go.
I feel like
and
I'm
do...
in an elevator.
It is. Remember Muzak? That's what they used to call elevator music. Muzak.
Yep.
All right, the 10 most popular U.S. landmarks. This comes from Fodor's. You ever hear of Fodor's? They're a huge travel service.
Yeah.
And they have listed the top 10 most popular U.S. landmarks. So here we go, number 10. Hold on just one second. I'm going to shut this down.
Dun, 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 dun,
Why does it
stop? There you go.
I apologize. Number 10 is Fort Sumter, okay?
Yeah.
That's where the Civil War started, okay? This fort on a man-made island in Charleston, South Carolina, was the start of the Civil War. Number 9. The National Mall. Washington's Mall is surrounded by a collection of great American landmarks. The Capitol, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, and the Vietnam Memorial. Number 8. The Alamo. You ever been there, Ed?
No.
Okay. You know where it is, don't you?
Yeah.
San Antonio, Texas, right? The one-time Franciscan mission stands as a monument to the nearly 200 Texas volunteers who fought and died in 1836 against the Mexican General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. Number 7. You ever been to Mount Rushmore?
No.
I haven't either, but I'd like to go sometime. Amid the South Dakota Black Hills, it commemorates, it's the chiseled visages of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abe Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. Number 6. You ever cross the Golden Gate Bridge?
No.
Okay. The suspension bridge connecting San Francisco with Marin County was completed in 1937. A triumphant architectural icon in every way. Number 5.
I remember one former Buccaneer player that came back from playing against San Francisco asked me if it was called the Golden Gate Bridge. Why is it painted red?
I know, but it's apparently if the sun hits it.
He missed that day in college. Go ahead.
Okay. Number 5. Independence National Historical Park. No other single park holds more historical significance than this Philadelphia district. Declaration of Independence was signed there. George Washington appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Army there. The Constitution was ratified there. It also includes the Liberty Bell. Pretty good.
30 seconds.
Four. Number 4. The Gateway Arch. Is it 30 seconds? I see more than that there.
I'm sorry. You're right.
All right. The Gateway Arch in St. Louis. Okay. Number 3. The Freedom Trail. This is a path through central Boston. You visit and walk the footsteps of America's forefathers. Number 2. Aha, I've been to this one, the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
It's not far from Las Vegas. It's a monumental, gigantic, architectural wonder of the world. Number 1. What do you think, Ed?
Oh, I don't know.
The Statue of Liberty. You been there?
As a kid, but I don't remember much of it.
All right. Dedicated to the U.S. in 1886 as a gift from France. There you go. All right.
Well, how long before some of those things will be taken down?
Oh, God forbid. All right. Thanks so much. We will be back on Wednesday. And remember, freedom works.
Little south side of Chicago.